Okay, we are up to Perek Chof Gimel, Pasik Chof Zayin. Okay, continuing describing Ahola and Aholila, Shomrayim and Yerushalayim, and how Hashem criticizes Yerushalayim for capping in the ways of Shomrayim, the Aseres HaShvatim, and Hashem says that He's going to punish them and bring upon them the Korban. Pasik Chof Zayin V'Hishpati Zimosech Mimech, I'm going to bring to an end your zimosech, your acts of arayos, mimech, which in this form of course means avodah zara, from you, via zimusech me'eretz Mitzrayim. I'm going to get an end to the zimusech from the land of Mitzrayim, v'lo sisi einach aleihem, you'll no longer lift up your eyes to them, in order Mitzrayim lo siskri od, and you'll no longer remember the Egyptians, you'll no longer will have a taiva to engage in illicit relations with the Egyptians, and the bigger picture is you're no longer going to have a desire to worship the idols that you worshipped in Egypt. Okay, let's see over here. Pasuk Chavzayim the Mitzudos David. Pasuk says, "V'hishvati b'avur marbis hatsarois habaos lo tia oid redufa achar hazima." You will no longer redufly pursue zima. V'achar haznus shen niska'a b'libech, that has been lodged in your heart, in the Eretz Mitzrayim. After, what? Imbued from the land of Egypt. After all of these tsaras, Rachmana Litzlan, all of these hardships, you're going to change your perspective on life. You're no longer going to want to associate with the Egyptians. Okay, v'loy in the Mitzudos style, the next words, v'loy sissi, v'loy sissi, kafal levim l'shaynes, we have repetition, it's pasik, v'return v'loyma, b'nei bavel yavo l'lehob l'mulchama, the Babylonians will come against you for the mulchama, v'him yu shaluchei ha-mishpat, he's reviewing here the entire few psukim we mentioned before, and they'll be agents from Hashem to exercise punishment, v'yaragu ha-son of ha-mashlem, v'yesra'am mehem yichu b'shevi, he's reviewing the whole thing over here, and they're going to kill all of the leaders, the adults, and they're going to take your children as captives. V'yisrefu beis hamigdash. They're going to burn down the beis hamigdash. Ubotei hagedolim. And all of the palaces, the beautiful houses, the beautiful homes. V'yishlelu chemdas Hashem. They're going to despoil all of your assets. U'migoydel hatzarais. And due to the intensity of this pain, lo sifne oid el ho'alilim. You're no longer going to turn to the idols. Lo siskor be'elohim. So you're no longer going to remember the gods of the Egyptians. Let us take a look at Rashi, Pasuk Chav Zayin. Okay, this is very simple. There is no Rashi Chav Zayin. Let's see the Radak. Radak, Pasuk Chav Zayin says, V'shpati zimosech mimech kim yom shagalu lo avru avoydah zar. This is an important principle. From the time that Klal Yisrael went to Golus, from the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, we never, ever again engaged in avoydah zar. That was the end. Now, is that really true? When they went to The Achashverosh, the Su'uda of Achashverosh, the criticism was. Okay, so that's what you have to say. You have to say, even though we do know, like, even like let's say Doniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, they did not bow down, but there's a whole question that other people bow down to the Avodah Zorah of Nebuchadnezzar. So that's a debate. But even if there was Avodah Zorah, it was nothing compared to the degree, the scale of what was going on in the time of the Bayis. The attitude changed, and simply means it didn't reach anywhere near that same degree. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Chaf Ches. Ki ko yamar Hashem Elokim. Hinani nois noch biad asher sonnes. Okay, this is, I'm going to deliver you in the hands of your enemies. Thanks. Biad asher nokon nafsheich mehem. In the hands of those who you have dislodged your neshama from. Okay, this is the theme, we had this before many times, is that we used to love them. Kal Yisrael loved the Egyptians, they loved the Babylonians, they loved the people from Ashur, and then when, and it came a point in time when they filed for a divorce. So then they became enemies. So I think what this means over here is that there's no greater hate between people that you once upon a time loved. Rachman Litzlan, people who fight in divorce court. Okay, you ever watched that television show, Divorce Court? Years ago, I used to watch Eschato Ayani Masker. It's very dirty. Okay, you know how I saw this, but whew, the hatred between man and wife. There is no hatred in this world like a hatred between a man and a woman when they want to divorce. Why? Because they invested in each other love.
They also know where to stick the knife.
That's also true. So it's a whole different world. If a person, you meet a person on the street, you're on the train, and the guy steps on your foot, you hate him, okay, you're a racist, you're a chauvinist, all right, whatever it is. So, but the hatred is only can reach a certain madrega, or when there was love, and then that love turns sour, whew, the hate is off the charts. And to some degree, that's what's happening here in these psukim. Because over here we have Klal Yisrael, and the good days, they loved the Egyptians. Yeah.
Reading all of the video seems that it's an extra step. As much as someone just gets divorced. But notice what I meant. Suppose hypothetically Klal Yisrael had abandoned a kibbutz, but not gone to worship or became atheists. We don't believe in God.
The truth, no, that you have to stop there. There's cannot no such thing as being an atheist. Even though in America they'll take a poll and they'll tell you this percent of American population or the world are atheists, the pollsters are all...
I finish my question. In a divorce, it's even worse if you go for another woman, as versus I just don't want to be with you anymore. I think there's more hate in sin. A man says I found a young old woman or I found somebody else. And I've seen it like in Hosea. Nabi Hosea, a lot of the pounding that comes as far as anger is, not so much you abandoned me, but you went to another God. And in Hosea, I remember when the God was saying to Klal Yisrael, if you want things, go ask your other God, see if they'll help you out. So I always wondered, is it a twofold step that as far as anger is, number one, that you abandoned me, and number two, that you took up with other gods? And if once the Avodah Zarah, if the Avodah Zarah spread, like a rival, what I call a tzur, had not been there. What I call a spur was saying, you know, that it's not just a two-step battle. We don't want to be with you anymore, you know. You're good for us, but you know, we moved on from this. We don't need you anymore. You know, sometimes, we don't need anybody else. We can do it. You know, I can say anything. And I was wondering about that comparison. Because you brought divorce, so I was thinking a little bit.
It goes. They're both true. There are different dimensions of hate. It's definitely true that throughout the Tanakh, Hashem complains that you exchanged me for someone else.
That's why we emphasize the Avodah Zarah so much.
Right.
Torah doesn't stop at Avodah Zarah because it's a replacement for.
It's a replacement. So what about today? Today there's no taiva to worship idols. What? Oh, so the answer is there's always an exchange. There's always, exactly, so that's the answer. There's always an exchange. When a person is abandoning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are you adopting? There always is to some degree an exchange. I can tell you that you become the idol. I control my destiny, my money, my wealth is my stability. In Achram, I mean, there are many different dimensions. There are many different dimensions of rejecting Hashem. Sometimes it's the exchange. Sometimes it's just, like you say, the abandonment. You lose faith in Hashem. I believe in Hashem, but I don't believe he can help me. He can solve my problems. Okay, in Achram, there are many different dimensions. You can't. Life is complicated. We know that, right? So I don't have a clear answer. Every pasuk, you have to look at the context and see exactly what the words are, what the criticism is. In the Yecheskel, the beginning of the Sefer Yecheskel, we see, I think it's more very common, exactly what you said, like Yisrael complains that there's been an exchange. The same El Kino HaMekane. Hashem says to Yecheskel, do you see what's going on in the Beis HaMikdash? In the Beis HaMikdash, they've put an idol to compete with me. The same El HaKino HaMekane, this image, which is making me lahachas jealous. Alright, so you have to say Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Does that answer your question?
Not really.
Not really? Okay, I don't know. But the point I want to make over here is this idea, which I think is a little bit unique, it's new, we have already three, four times Biyad Asher Nok'o Nafsheich Mim. You have withdrawn. Why are we mentioning that? We're mentioning that to explain to us that the hatred the Klal Yisrael had for the Egyptians, for the Babylonians, for the people from Ashur, is extremely intense. Why? Because there was love. And when there was love, there was an investment, an emotional investment in another party. Klal Yisrael invested in the Babylonians. They invested their emotions in the Bnei Ashur, in Mitzrayim. And now they felt that they had been betrayed. When they felt being betrayed, the hatred is just off the charts. And that's what it's saying. Hashem says, I'm going to deliver you and your enemies. What kind of enemy? Not just the enemy. You're on the subway and the guy stepped on your foot and he didn't apologize to you. Okay, that enemy, that person you don't like for whatever reason. But no. The enemy that I'm going to deliver you is someone that you hate with an intensity that only comes because once upon a time you were in love with them. Abiyad, Asher, the hate, Nok'ah, you have withdrawn Nafsheich Mehem, which has the connotation that at one point in time you were in love with them, and now that love turns sour, Memela, the hatred is just, wow. It is off the charts. I don't know about that, by Azriel Tauber. He's a very big speaker, public speaker, inspirational speaker, and he talks about a lot of this stuff is about Shalom Bayis. And I heard him say exactly this thing, is that the hatred that he deals with between man and woman at a time of when they get the love turns sour, is just awesome. It's off the charts. It's off the charts because why? Once upon a time there was love. Okay, let's see what he says in the Tzudos of Pasuk Chafches. Pasuk, let me find it here. I always have a hard time finding the information on these pages because it's always changing from place to place. Okay. Chafches, Biyar Asher Soneis, Heima Kastim. The people that you hate, these are the Kastim. Shemoradita Bohem, you rebelled against them. Asher Noko, Asher Sarso, Nafshech Mehem, List No Sum. You have pulled out. You have withdrawn your heart from them. You used to love them. Now you hate them. The kafal hadava b'milah shaynais. We have poetic repetition. Rashi pasuk of chesah shoshanes kastim shemoradit mohem. You have rebelled against the kastim. Radak pasuk of chesah kikoyam Hashem elokim kili nosnach hanun b'komatz. I'm going to the second nun is b'komatz lini keva. We all know that. That's a very simple rule of grammar. Is that Zohar has a segol and a nekeva for nekeva? When you refer the verb for nekeva is always a komatz. Like for example, in this example, nos noch. I'm going to deliver it. It's a nekeva. Mishpatav itseire elashu kamosha kasavnu ki kishmedaba kedegin hakaneso. When you talk, we're here talking to the assembly. I'm going to deliver you, Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael here is now being addressed as a group, Knesa. Knesa is feminine. Medaber pam b'lashon zocher, pam b'lashon nekeva, v'shon ha'inyin hazeh oil l'chazek inyin. Okay, so this repetition in this pasuk to bring out, to emphasize the point. Pasuk chav tes. The asur osach b'sina. They're going to do against you deeds with hatred. Here's all this repetition. Everything we've been taught now has already been expressed in other words in the previous psukim. And they're going to take called yigi'e, all of your hard work. Va'azovuch erom ve'eriyah. They're going to abandon you naked, bare naked. V'niglo ervas zinu nayich. Your nakedness of your acts of zimar is going to be exposed. V'zimoseich v'saz nusoich, three words. Zinusayich, zimoseich v'saz nusoich, poetic repetition. Let's see the Mitzudos David Pasuk Chav Tes. The Asu Osach Yasu Imach Dvadim Esina. They're going to do against you things with hatred. V'yikhu kol Oshrech, your wealth Hashem Yagat, which you have toiled Osva to collect. V'yazvu Osach Eirom V'eryom Yabli Levush. V'niglo oz yeh nigle chepa sinuseh ki nigmul ha-maaseh yigulev v'yivoda maaseh avon. Due to, as a punishment for your sins, it's going to be exposed, your sins. V'zimoseh v'saz nuseh kofal hadovar b'miloy shoynes lefi marbis haznus v'yemer al avodos psilim ha-mechulafim. We are describing various idols. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk. There is no Rashi on this pasuk. Radak pasuk lam chavtes. The asu erum be'eria be'erum uve'eria be'parashas. Chayda es Yerushalayim kasavnu perusha. We already explained this. Zinunayich yomar zinun min zayinun hey behechpel ayin hapoyal. Okay, I don't know really what this means. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk lamed. A Rome area, naked. Two different words which seemingly mean the same thing. Pasuk lamed. Also eile loch. They're going to do these to you. Biznosech acharei goyim. Because you have committed arayos after the nations. Al asher nitmes begilu lehem. In addition to contaminating yourself to their idols. You have done a sin upon a sin. As we mentioned so many times, Chazal say the only reason why a person worships idols is so that he can create a new ideology to permit what would otherwise be a forbidden relations. So here, really, the pasuk to some degree brings out that point: is that you've implemented your ultimate plan. You've implemented your ultimate plan by worshipping idols, by engaging in arayos, after you contaminated yourself to their abominations, after you bowed down to their god, you have created a new ideology that you're allowed to live with your friend's wife, then you went ahead and you did it. It's a process. Let's see the Mitzudo Stava Pasik Lamid, Oso Eile Loch, Eile Hadavarim Nasu Loch Digmol, all of these terrible things are going to happen to you as a punishment. Digmol shezonis acharei goyim, and the pasuk explains v'yiforish amarav loymar, and the pasuk explains exactly what are the sins. Alasher nitmes begilu lehem lekablam eloha, you have accepted them as a god. Now the mitzvahs translated the pasuk not like what I just told you. Just said that the second part of the pasuk is an explanation. The second part of the pasuk is what? How exactly did you commit zima? Did you go astray? You went astray, the explanation is by worshipping their idols. I give you more of a midrashic interpretation of the pasuk, is that you did gili arayos after you permitted it to yourself. You removed the prohibition from your conscience. How do you remove the prohibition from your conscience? This is the ideology. If we follow the Torah, then there are arayos. A person is not allowed to do these things. But now that we have taken upon ourselves a new god, and in the bylaws of this religion, it says these things are permitted. Now we are permitted to engage. Our conscience is clear, and we can engage in these forbidden relations. That is a more midrashic interpretation, but it's not the way the Mitzudas explains. It's all one and the same. The Zima is the worshipping of the gods. Let's see Rashi, Pasuk Lamed, Aso Eile, Lashon Paul. Okay, this is a continuous. The Goyim are going to continuously do all of these, bring upon you all of these sorrows as a punishment for your sins. Radak pasuk lamid also ele loch mokor kloimar ele shiasu loch ba'inish avono sayachu. This is all a punishment for your sins. Okay, biz no sech b'cholam mokor b'shekel biv no sayach. We had it before. Fine. Pasuk lamid aleph b'derech achosech haloch. We're winding down now. And they're going to into a whole new theme of drinking the cup. B'derech achosech haloch, Hashem here is criticizing Yerushalayim. It's criticizing Oholiva. Oholiva, Hashem says, my tent is within her. Why? Because you learned from the evil ways of your sister, Ohola. B'derech achosech haloch, and therefore, v'nosati choysa b'yadech, I'm going to give the cup of retribution. Okay, this is a metaphor which is very common in Tanakh. Hashem gives to drink his enemies the kois hata'arela, the cup of poison, or other different types of cups. And Hashem says, Hashem has given this kos, this cup of poison to Oholah. And now I'm going to give the remainder, the shirayim of this cup to you, Oholiva, because you deserve it. You have imitated, you have copied her evil ways. Mitzudos pasuk lamed aleph b'derech lefi shehalacht b'derech aholah achay sechidifor etain biyodech eskoy sachema just like she, your sister, drank it. Himshil chamas Hashem l'chayis mola yayin. The metaphor here is Hashem compares his anger to a cup of wine, hamish shaker, which causes one to be intoxicated, umevalbel das adam. And this is a very powerful concept, and this really ties into the Teichecha. The very first thing the Teichecha is Behala. Behala means the biggest, the ultimate klala, in the beginning of the Teichecha, the end of the Teichecha, is, well, that's what the Yehala, Hashem will care about, but the point I want to make is that a person's mind is not clear. But okay, there's another word here which is similar, in Hanami. Okay, but let me just open up the Chumash. Here in the beginning of the Teichecha, when it all starts, okay, v'im b'chukasai t'masu, af ani eses zoscha v'fkati aleichem behola. Because I'm going to visit upon you behola. What is behola? Terror. It means you. What? Confusion. I saw one of the commentators say that it means depression. Depression. Okay, there are different interpretations over here. Rashi translates behola pasuk tezayin. He doesn't even translate it. Okay, Rashi does. It means depression there. Okay, it doesn't over here say Rashi is not translated, but over here in the Targum it says Bahelta. Bahola means you're in a state of confusion, depression, anxiety. The mind is not clear. It's one thing. Well, it says here as well. So the word behola is the very, very first klala in the Teichecha. What's the last klala in the Teichecha? Can you close the door, Mr. Cohen? Can you close the door, maybe? Yeah, thanks. And what is the last Teichecha, the last verse in the Teichecha? The af ani elechim moim b'keri. Okay, this is four. V'haneshonim b'chem yimaku. B'avoyinam. Okay, that's the four. Okay, towards the very, very end. V'choshlu ish b'achiv kim mipnei cheref v'rodef oyin. People are going to stumble. Friendly fire. It's going to be friendly fire. They're going to stumble one against the other. And guess what? V'rodef oyin. No one is even chasing after you. No one's chasing. It's all in your mind. Paranoia. It's all in your mind. And you think someone's chasing after you, and this is going to lead to one person killing the other person. Now that's kemat, the very, very end. Then v'avadtem b'agoyim, then it winds down. So isn't it interesting is that the Teichecha begins with a klola of the mind, and ends with the klala of the mind. It's one thing a person, you have a business, you spend your whole life working on a business, and then one day it's all wiped out. Okay, so now I have no money, but at least I have my mind. So I'm upset, I'm sad, I feel the pain, but okay, I'm not depressed. I wanted to go on vacation and now I can't. So now I have to stay home for Shavuos. I can't go anywhere. All right. So instead of having steak, I'm going to have chicken. I'm going to have some whatever, some pretzels, whatever I'm going to have. Okay. But my mind is here. The ultimate Teichecha is when you're depressed. You can't do anything. You're not motivated. There's a lack of motivation. And even worse, paranoia is when when your mind plays games with you and you think about things that don't even really exist. This is extremely, extremely frightening. And the Teichecha is sandwiched between different types of pain in the mind, depression and paranoia. And here in this pasuk, the pasuk of Rashi over here explains, this is a very important yesod in the Mitzudos, is that is why we always find in Tanakh, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes punishment, that he's going to mete out to his enemies, whether it's going to be the Umay Sa'ilam or it's going to be the Klal Yisrael, it's always described as giving them to drink from the Kais of Yayin. which is also called Tarela, different terms. Yeah.
I don't see any
person
on this page
use
the term
Tarela. Okay, and they don't.
It's
yeah.
Only applies
to Goyim.
Enemy.
Okay. I take it back then. Fine. Okay. Okay, fine. I take that back then. But we do have here this idea of giving to drink of a kais, and what is the meaning of giving a kais? Intoxication. What's intoxication? The mind has been altered. The mind has been changed. The mind is not operating on its own. It's delusional. It's depressed. It's under the influence of something. And that is why the kais of yayin is always an example of klala, of teichacha, as we find in this week's parasha. Okay, let's now go to the... On this? Okay, so we have over here, Michal. We have...
Yeah, I'm just telling you, he might be the only one then.
But Yitzhak Abarbanel.
It's generally... Because it's really beyond just losing your mind, it's really destruction. And Klal Yisrael is not being destroyed altogether. So, it's a little strong.
Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi, there is none. Let's see Radak Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Bederech, Mivarhu, it's self-understood. Koyamar, okay, let's pause the Lamed Beis. Now we're going to go and describe this in much more detail. We're going to describe this idea of the Kais HaTar, the Kais, this Kais HaYayin, Gesundheit in more detail. Here we go, Lamed Beis, Koyamar Hashem Elokim, Kais Achai Sech Tishti. I want you to drink now the Kais of your sister. Ho Amukha Vil Haruchava, the Kais that is Amukha deep and wide, Tia Litzchoik, it's going to be for makri ulilag. Two words which mean makri mirbo lahachil. It's too much to bear. And what does all of this mean? Lamebez in the mitzvus kos achosech hakoyis shashasa achosech tishti gam at cho amukah. The kois is a very deep kois. It holds quite a bit of liquid. When it says tzchik means that the people who watch you drink, after you drink this kais and you become intoxicated, the people, the observers, are going to mock you. They're going to laugh. Bishiur gadol, to such a great degree, ad shetia merubo lehachil, it'll be too much to bear. V'lisbol kol hatzchik v'halag, you'll no longer be able to bear the intensity of this laughter and this mockery. Let's see Rashi, Pasuk Lamed Beis, Nir B'Lachil Yisera Milachil. The word Lachil comes from the word coil. It means everything. It's too much to contain. The totality is too much. The totality of what is coming upon the person is just too much. Yisera Milachil Kamo Milispol. The word Lachil is similar to the word Milispol, is to bear. Or Radak, Pasik Lame, Base Koyma Hashem Tia, Peirush HaKois Tia Litzchoik V'Lag, Peirush HaGoyim Yitzchaku V'Lagu Al Roev HaPuronus HaBo Alayich. They're going to mock you for all the... What? Mir B'Lachil Toyar LaKois, we're describing the Kois, Shehi Rabo L'Hachil U'Lachzik Yayin Tar'ilo Rav. Now he learns, the Radak, it seems to be not like the Mitzudos, is that the word Mir B'Lachil refers to the cup. The cup, there's too much to drink. It's rabbala gulhaksak yayin, tar'ela, there's so much poison in this cup. Lihachil ulhachzik yayin tar'ela rav, the abundance of this poisonous wine. Not like the mitsudos that says that the shame that's going to come upon you is going to be too much for the person to be. Your person is going to have a nervous breakdown. Okay, let's see. Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Shikoroin. Okay, Shikoroin. Now, before we go further, I just want to point out, I don't really, I'll just read this to you. I saw this in two Svarim, this Medrash. I don't really fully understand it. But in these two Psukim, Pasuk Lamed Al, Pasuk Lamed Beis, it tells us that there are many parallels between the Golos of the Aseres HaShvatim and the Golos of Yerushalayim. For example, I don't know all the details. For example, it says here that when they went into Golos in three stages or three places. L'sholosh galuyos galu yisrael. I'm not really sure if this is referring to This refers to, it seems, to Yehuda. Yehuda, Galu Yisrael Echol Lefnim Minahar San Bat Yoin. Okay, we know about that. That's a very important for Shavuos. Because Shavuos, the Akdamos of Shavuos came from Rabbi Meir Shaliach Tzibur, who went to the other side of the San Bat Yon River to save the fellow Jews. There were Jews living on the other side of this river, and this river, it was impossible to cross the Bermuda Triangle, okay, without disappearing, and somehow he went there, and that's called Minahar San Bat Yon. So it says here that a third of the exiles went to the other side of the San Bat Yon River. The second one went V'yachol L'dafni Shel Antuchia, Antioch. Okay, what's Antioch?
Antioch.
Which country?
Syria.
Where?
Syria.
Okay, the side of Antuchia, and the third. Now here is very interesting. The echad sheyorad aleihem heonon v'chise oisam. This is the Medrash, and it's explained that a third of the Jews disappeared underneath a cloud that covered them, which is an expression which means we don't know what happened to them. Among those who were exiled from Yisrael, again, there were three groups. One third went to the San Bat Yon, one went to Antochia, and one group went to, they just disappeared. Now, I don't know, I'm not clear what this means, because the Jews who went to Galus and Yehuda, they went to Rome, right? Isn't that what it says? They were taken down to Rome. So they were taken to Bavel. The Bavel, Vayasheni was Rome. So what exactly does this mean? I don't know. Maybe this means this is an earlier stage. There was an earlier stage when there were three groups of the people of...
Place over 150 years.
So at the final end, the final Churban. But then there was the Mice of Beitar. Okay, I don't know exactly all the timeline of when exactly this happened. The only point I want to go make here is this Medrash over here says, why were the three different stages of Galus to correspond to the three different stages of Galus among the Malchus of Yisrael? There was B'nai Gad, B'nai Reuben, Nechash, and Menashe.
Yeah, that was
3182,
and that was long before.
No, that was way before. But when the Galus, when Sancheriv exiled the Aseres HaShvatim, he did so in three stages. The first stage was those that were either Hayardin, B'nai Gad, B'nai Reuben, Nechash, and Menashe. The second stage were the Shvatim that live along the Mediterranean, which was Zevulon and some other Shvatim, I don't remember. And then the third stage were the people that were living in the heartland, in the center of Eretz Yisrael. These are psukim that are mentioned in Yeshayah. It's a very popular idea. There were three different stages of Golus that occurred to the people, the Malchus of Yisrael, through Sancheriv. So the Pasuk here says, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, we read before, B'derech achoy seicholocht, just like your sister went into Golus, so too, you're also going to go into Golus. The same thing is going to happen to you, which means that the Golus of Yerushalayim, of the Malchus of Yehuda, was also in three stages. What that means exactly, I told you, I'm not really clear. Now, another interesting thing is that just like when Sancheriv laid siege to Shomron, laid siege to the Aseres HaShvatim, it says here that there was a siege for three years, and just like there was a siege for 3 years against Shomron, there was also a three-year siege against Yerushalayim. And just like in Shomron, the people ate the flesh of their children, Teichach of this week's parasha, so too in Yerushalayim, they ate the flesh of their children. So the point, I just want to make, I don't know, the problem is that he's telling us over here is that there was a parallel. The terrible things that happened in Yerushalayim that we know about, I think we're more familiar with the terrible things that happened in Yerushalayim from Tisha B'Av, the siege of 3 years, the eating of the children, and he's telling us here that it was three stages in the Golus, was exactly what happened to the Aseres HaShvatim. There was an exact parallel in the Churban of the Aseres HaShvatim to the Churban of the two Shvatim of Yehuda and Binyamin. Okay, now we go to Pasuk Lamed Gimel. We're going to describe in more detail exactly what this Kais is. Shikaroin v'yagon timo lei. Fill yourself up with shikarayin, with drunkenness, meaning the dulling of your mind, viyagon and sadness, timolei, kois shama ushimama, a cup of destruction and desolation, kois, drink Yerushalayim, the same cup of achayseh, your sister shaimrayin. Pasek lamed gimel in the Mitzudos David, shikaron viyagon, like derech shaytse kois yayin shehem shikurim umir vu bolim, avalheim simechen. Normally, when people they get intoxicated, they're laughing, they're giddy, they're happy. So, but why? Yayin mis-samech, this wine typically brings joy. Avol because hachema tia melea mishtikronim yigon, but the cup that you're going to drink is going to fill you up with drunkenness and sadness. Kois, the pop of shama ushimama, hakois huye mitimoin leva vishimamoin. It's going to be a cup of sadness and destruction. Dugmas kois achasech shaymoin, similar to the cup of your sister shaymoin. So this cup that you're going to drink is going to be really, normally when you drink wine, it's delicious. You get a little dull in the mind, but at least you're happy. But when you drink this wine, you're going to have the effects of losing your mind, but you're not going to be happy. Okay. Next, let's see Rashi pasuk lamed gimel umishama. Timaho, Mishama means bewilderment. Radak, Pasik Lamed Gimel, Shikaron Viagon Timolei, Oisoy HaShikaron Hu Ayagon Shetimoli Mimenu. The Shikaron is, the drunkenness is not going to be a happy drunkenness, it's going to be sadness. Shetimoli Mimenu, Ki Akois Vayayin Hu Mashal Alatsaros, the Kois Liyayin over here is a Mashal metaphor for Tsar. Okay, next Pasik Lamed Alid. Now here's a very frightening pasuk. The pasuk says that the tsaros are going to be so intense, you're not just going to drink the wine, you're going to suck the earthenware, you're going to actually suck the sediments and try to extract some flavor from the walls of the broken pieces of this utensil. The shasis oisa, first you're going to drink it, then umotsis, and then you're going to suck the sediments. And then it says, "V'es choroshaha tigoremi," the broken pieces. Tigoremi, the word tigoremi means it means like a bone.
Scrape.
Is that the scrape?
Well, the drawer, right?
Okay, we'll see in a moment. V'shadayich tinateki. Now here's how he throws it out of nowhere. Your breast, you're going to rip off your breasts. And what in the world does that have to do with drinking this kois atarela? You're drinking this cup of poison, and you're going to drink it, you're going to get sediments, you're going to shatter it, and you're going to try to suck any flavor you can get from the broken pieces, and then you're going to go take a knife and cut off your breasts. What does that all mean? I don't know. Let's see. Ki ani Hashem divarti nu Hashem lokim, so says Hashem. Let's see the meaning of this pasuk. Very, very strange pasuk. La medalit umotzis timtzos habalua. You're going to suck. First, you're going to drink. Then you're going to suck. V'yes charosheha choroseh hakois tishkuri b'shinayich. You're going to take your teeth and you're going to break the cup. You're going to eat up the cup with your teeth. Lilas, in order to suck. To suck hacharosim, the broken pieces of pottery, limtsois, to suck out kol habalua, any flavor you can get out of the walls of the cup. That's how intense it's going to be. Your desire to drink from this cup, v'shadayich tinateki, meroif hashikrus, due to the intensity of the intoxication, or bilbul hadas, techabli biatzmech, you're going to harm yourself. Linatek v'lakor shadayich, to cut off your breasts. So it shall be. Now maybe what it means al derech drush is you're going to abandon your children. Okay, it's the most natural thing a person has in this world is to take care of his children. People will do anything for their children, anything. They'll give their whole life. So that's all part of the DNA. That's all part of a person's natural disposition. A person wants everything for himself. He doesn't care, but for his children. After you go and you become intoxicated with this poison, you're going to abandon your children. And the way the pasuk expresses this is by cutting off your breasts, because this is the most basic form of nourishment a mother nurses her child, and the breasts are the object which represents nourishment from her mother to a child. I couldn't care less about my children. Let them fend for themselves, or let them die. Who cares? That is all going to be a product, a consequence of becoming of the Chorban. The older generation is not going to care about the continuity of Klal Yisrael. They're going to just give up. We had a Chorban. No, we're finished, but let's at least plant the seeds for the next generation to rebuild. Part of the Chorban is they're not going to take that into consideration, just going to cut that off their breasts. Rashi Pasik Lamedalid says, Umotzis Lashon Motzeitz Es Hatamtzis. You're going to suck out the essence. So what's that French word? The Eschad Oshecha, Dimo Kois Lamashkeh Shol Puronis Lishol L'chli Cheres to a earthenware utensil Shenishtaber, which has been shattered, Ein Loi Takono, and there is no solution. Kach Mitzatovo Tishu Osom, this the Yishaber HaKois Lo Yoshuv L'Hashkois Amo. Now he's thinking over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, over here, there's a hidden bracha, there's a silver lining in this bracha. And Rashi over here is drawing his interpretation from the Medrash. I'll tell you the Medrash first, and then we'll understand the Rashi better. The Medrash here compares the kois hatarela that the Jewish people are being given to drink relative to the kois hatarela that the goyim are going to be given to drink. What's the main difference? The goyim are going to be served the poisonous yayin in a cup of gold, whereas the Jewish people are going to be served their poisonous drink in a cup of earthenware. Now, what's the difference? Now, normally, by the way, normally, the ideal cup to serve wine, to drink wine, is gold. Gold, it seems, has properties of simcha. Okay, I don't know the difference. We have different minerals: iron, copper, all the different minerals. Gold. In any, we do this. There's gold in some of the foods that we eat. Right? There is gold. Gold is a very important mineral. I don't think how important it is. Gold, scientifically, it's brought down. Increases the serotonin, which means happiness. Gold, the mineral of gold increases simcha in a person. Dr. Fruchter, is there any evidence that I'm saying correct? Gives your wife gold. I'm talking about ingesting small amounts of gold. There is such a thing, okay? I believe mineral of gold also in the brain, there's the alpha. I don't know how the different hemispheres of the brain, the right and the left, and the all ideal to achieve a state of meditation is to bring together the left and the right. You know, many years ago, it was fascinating. You got to try this. It really works, but you need to spend like 2 hours doing this. And who has 2 hours that kind of time? Is, you know, today with technology, you take earphones, you know, the earphones, the earbuds, and now with the cell phone, now they have all these apps, like hundreds of apps. You can do this. Years ago, you had to go buy a special device to do this. And it basically plays sounds, first in the left ear, then it alternates, left, right. First, it goes very, very slow, different tones. And over time, it the tones come together and it synthesizes. And it really works. It's amazing, but you need a lot of time to do these meditative states, is where it brings together the left hemisphere of your mind with the right hemisphere of your mind. Right? I'm saying, Dennis.
There's a form of therapy called EMDR, where they tap left, right.
Left. Sounds.
Or your chest. And then it helps people calm down and deal with problems. Yeah.
And you could achieve it. I'm telling you, I know, I tried this. Many years ago, I tried that. I tried this recently with the cell phone. I accidentally hit it on the cell phone. Where it really works. It really works. You have to do it. It takes a lot of time. And you have to relax. You have to listen. An hour, 2 hours, go through the programs. And then when you're finished, wow, your mind is laser sharp, and you can really absorb, memorize information like will normally take you many, many hours. You can do very, very quickly. Okay, but you have to remove all the distractions. So, you know, today anyone can try this, because everyone today has a smartphone. You can go to Google Play, you can download an app. They have hundreds of apps like this today. And you take the earphones and you do this. Again, like I told you, you have to remove all the distractions from this work. But they say, I once read an article, is that with this type of technique you can do the same thing with minerals. There are certain minerals which naturally, I mean, I don't know any of this, I don't try any of this, because it can be very dangerous, so you don't know what you're doing. So there are certain minerals which naturally cause the two hemispheres of the brain to come together and makes it easy. And one of those minerals is gold. Gold is very popular in this mix of bringing the mind together. So it's not for, and Chazal, I saw this in the Mefarsh, they all say this. They say it's the reason why it was, in ancient times, they would serve wine in gold utensils, is that the wine should absorb teeny, teeny fragments of the gold, and that goes into your blood, and that has an effect on your mind, and it's backed up by science today, and that enhances the simcha. Yayin loosens the mind, and then together with the mind being loosened, you have a little gold in there as well, which brings the mind together.
I don't know if Timaitis would agree to that.
Timaitis? What's Timaitis? What's
and
that?
And a golden touch.
A golden touch. Okay, Google this. You don't believe me? Maybe I'm wrong. Google it. All the information is online. The Goyim were served Yayin in a gold cup. Over here, and it says that in Yirmiyah. It says that in Yeshaya. They're going to be served with gold. Here it says that when Klal Yisrael is given to drink their Yayin, they're going to be served the Yayin in an earthenware utensil. Now, why? So the answer is because gold, after if gold is broken, if you take a gold utensil and you shatter it, no big deal. Just put it back into the fire and you can reconstitute it. You can fix it. Earthenware that is shattered cannot be repaired. And the message is that the Goyim, after they drink one kois of the Yayin HaTarela, even if the kois is destroyed, Hashem temporarily leaves them alone, don't worry. The kois will be reconstituted and they'll be given to drink multiple more cups of Yayin in order to punish them. Whereas Klal Yisrael, once the kois has been shattered, earthenware has been shattered, there is no repair. So it means that once our salvation arrives, we will never have to suffer this pain again. Okay, so it's a one-time tsar, and when the tsar is over, we are free at last. Yeah.
With our enemies, they are force-fed the coast.
Okay.
And here...
We're doing it on our own.
And here, right, and scraping it, trying to get the last drop out of it. It's like an alcoholic.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is.
Who is desperate.
Desperate.
Anything. Alcohol, and it doesn't stop till they hit rock
bottom. That's all part of the sickness. Exactly. Also, they make me some myla, because the gun, you don't find them sucking. They say in addiction, Dennis, am I correct, is that when you reach rock bottom, that's very good, because there's only one way, only one place to go, only go up. As long as you've not reached rock bottom, it's very hard. It's easier to repair yourself when you reach rock bottom than when you're still somewhere in the middle. So here in Echnam, they've reached rock bottom to the degree where they're sucking. It doesn't get worse than this. Okay, let's see what it's again. Well, let's see Rashi. Now, with that idea in a moment, Rashi explains. Umotzis. Okay, yes, the Rashi, Pasuk Lamed, Pasuk Yes, Charoshecha, Dimo Kois HaMashkeh, Shal Puronis Lishrol, L'Kli Cheres, to an earthenware utensil. Why? Misha Nishtaber, why? Because once the Kli Cheres is broken, shattered, Ein Loi Takana, goes in the garbage. Kach, so to Misha Tovo Tishu Asam, when the salvation arrives to the Jewish people, the Yishaver HaKois, and the Kois is shattered, Lo yoshuv lahashkoi sum oat. We will never ever drink from this cup of poison again, because there's no more cup. But when we describe the giving of the cup of poison to the nations of the world, kari oiso zohav shenemar, like it says in Yirmiyah, kois zohav biad bovel biad Hashem mishakedes kol haaretz. They are the ones who cause the world. There's a kais of Zav in the hands of Bavel. They are, in this pasta context, is they're causing the whole world to become confused. Bavel is going and destroying the world. They're going out on a campaign to destroy the world, to cause everyone to enter into a state of terror, of confusion, of Bahala. But what is the metaphor? We do find here that in regard to Bavel, there's the kais of the Zav. And the pasuk goes on there to say that this kois shel zav that they are trying to feed, to give, to drink to the entire world, ultimately, Bavel will drink the cup themselves. they'll have to take a sip from the cup that sells, and being that it's a kosh zav, and zav, when it shatters, can be reconstituted, it indicates that they're going to drink multiple cups of poison. Whereas we drink one cup, the cup breaks, there's nothing more that you can do with it. Next words, v'eschara sera tigoremi. The broken pieces, you will tigoremi. Now, how do they try? You'll scrape. That's what it says over there in your translation.
Yeah.
You're going to scrape the broken pieces. You're going to scrape them to extract some flavor. Kimo ve'atzmo sehem yigoreim. You're going to shatter. Lo garmu laboger. Goyer b'shinov. To scrape. Goyer b'shinov es sedivay sa'etzem. You're going to scrape with your teeth around the etzem, around the bone, in those psukim. Oh, hacheres, and in this example, we're calling the broken pieces of pottery like bones. Lirdois me all of Boston. That example there to extract some flesh of a bone. On the bone, there might be a teeny, teeny morsel of meat. You're going to scrape with your teeth the bone in order to extract a piece of meat. Hadavik bo. Menachem chibuloshon shivira means to break. It means to shatter. Do not, there also, I'm not sure what it means, but it also means to break. So we have basically two interpretations of this word. When it says in the pasuk, either it means you're going to scrape along the broken pieces of the utensil in order to extract some yayin, or it means you're going to break into teeny little pieces. You're going to break the broken pieces into smaller pieces, so that maybe by sucking smaller pieces, maybe then you'll be able to find some flavor. Radak pasuk lamed aled. Long radak here. Vishasis oiso umeitzis tishti oisa kois kola ad hatam sis shatim. So you're going to drink until there's not, until you suck out every bashku. V'yes charosecha tigorim. You're going to scrape the broken pieces with your tongue and teeth in order to extract flavor. V'lo od ilo shech charosecha tigoremi. Achre shatimtzi. After you suck it, tishbri hakois. After you suck the cup, you're then going to break the cup, bishinaich, with your teeth, limsois chadosecha, to suck out the flavor from the broken pieces. The himshul ha'inyin l'kois cheres, we're comparing it to pottery, l'fi shenivla hayayin b'sach cheres, because that's natural, that flavor is absorbed in pottery. V'yama charoseha, l'shoin rabim, ki b'hishovra, yu chalokei haram, because when you shatter, it's going to be multiple pieces. Now, next word, tigoremi, mila mishu'eles. This is a borrowed word. Min the atzmo sehem yigoreim, shepeirushoi shiviras ho'atzomim. This is the second interpretation of Rashi. This is from Menachem. Menachem says to break. And there it's, and that the word yigoreim, he says, is really used exclusively in reference to bones. You take a bone and you break a bone. So when it comes to a piece of pottery, the word is not appropriate. Einochinami, it's not to be taken literally. It's a borrowed term we're using in the context. But literally, it refers to the breaking of bones. Retzoloimar, biloisa sam kamo siroshesh. When you suck the broken piece of pottery, you're going to break it down into smaller pieces to in order to get the flavor. Shu akiras hasharish kein tigoremi yigoreim shu asagramim. The breaking of the pieces kio etzem niko gam kein gorem. A bone is called a gorem. So that's why in the form tigoremi, it means to break a bone to little pieces. Kmo shakasov tishaver gorem giramov kimtil barzel v'chintagum etzem garamov chinamal l'shviras. Hacharosim, the breaking of the pieces of pottery, belisa, to chewing the tigoremi. When you chew the broken pieces, it's called it's called tigoremi. Okay, next. Vishadayich. In a chanam, right, exactly the same. Really? Marrow from the bones. Wow, okay. In a chanam, that's what it's saying over here, is that you go in the same way when it comes. The word gorem means a bone. And in the normal context, it would mean to take a bone and to suck the bone. Here, in this context, it means you're going to take the broken piece of pottery, you're going to shatter them into smaller little pieces in order to suck out any flavor. Next, v'shadayich tinateki, ta'akli shadayich b'shiyas yayin hatarela. When you drink this poisonous cup, you're going to cut off your breasts. V'tirgim yonasan us uvisrich tis lishin. Okay, your flesh. I think uvisrich means your flesh, bosor. Okay, in the Targum, a samach is often interchanged with a sof. So it's like bosar, uvishrich tis loshin. He's not translating the Targum to mean that your breasts It means you're going to take a bite out of your arm, your flesh. You're going to take a piece of your meat. You're going to be hungry. You'll eat. Self-inflicted wounds. You're going to eat yourself up alive. Right? That's really what it means. The person is going to go mad. Person is going to go mad. He's going to drink from this cup of poison, and you're going to go into such a state of pain, of depression, despair, hallucination, and all of these terrible things, and you're going to literally eat yourself up alive. Rachmana litzlan. V'amoshla zehu sheyavru aleim atzoros ad kiloysam kiloyon chorutz. Chorutz means, it means the ultimate destruction. Umishal, and the example we give over here is Shadaych Tinateki, who al bitul hatoyrois bagolus. He's giving a beautiful medrash. And the medrash over here is that the Torah, that Shadai kimigdolos, pasuk in Shir Hashirim, that my breasts are like towers, which Chazal say that refers to, the breasts refer to Torah. Kya Shadayim, Moshul, the Torah Shebichsav, the Torah Shebal Peh. Kimoshakasan Parashas Hodah, back in Perak Tezayin. Uvigolus bavel, there are two breasts. One breast is Torah Shabbat, one Torah Shabbat Peh. Uvigolus bavel, we mentioned many times the badim in the oroin, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim was the oroin. What's in the oroin? The Torah Shebichsav. And what protrudes from the oroin? The badim. And the badim press against the paroiches. Kishnei dadei isha. So what's the symbolism? We discuss different approaches, but the simplest symbolism is that from the Torah Shebichsav comes forth the Torah Shebal Peh. One is the Torah Shebal Peh, right? Chayidav v'golos bavel u'inu sheshachuch ha-Torah bitlo o'isa. We find in Gozo they forgot the Torah, and they were mevatelit. K'mo sh'inu shenosu nashim nachvios. We find in Ezra, intermarriage. That is the telltale sign of where the Jewish people are holding the intermarriage rate. Intermarriage rate says it all. The Chilu Es HaShabbos, Chil Shabbos says it all as well. Udvarav Acherim Shloi Nichtavu had not been written. V'yaf HaLoshon Shachu, when they forgot the language. Okay, there's a very powerful Rashi over here telling us how low they stooped. Intermarriage, Chil Shabbos, language. If you don't speak the Hebrew language, Loshon Kodesh, that's very frightening. When they came back from Babel, everything was Aramaic. Everything was Aramaic. They did not know Loshon Kodesh. Okay, so we have over here all these different ideas. It gave us a new idea what it means, the self-inflicted wounds. It refers to eating up yourself alive. Shadach refers to basar. Okay, now, okay, next pasuk. Pasuk, let's do one pasuk. Pasuk, lamed, pasuk, lamed, hey. Lochein, korma, Hashem Elokim, yan, shachacht oisi. Now, this is a very famous pasuk. You forgot me. Vatashlichi oisi acharei gaveich. Okay, sound familiar, that pasuk? You threw me behind your back. Okay, you threw me behind your back. The gam atz izi moseich v'yes taz nusech. Therefore, because you've thrown me, you've made me secondary. You forgot about me. You discarded me behind your back. Therefore, you will suffer the consequences. You will have to bear the punishment for your sins. David. A person doesn't want to see, so you don't want to see this again, right? Smartphone, mamash, an object of distraction and tumah and contamination. So you throw it behind your back. You throw it behind your back, never to see it, never to see it again. They say, you know, I really never understood this until the smartphone. Chazal say that a person should make 100 brachas, right? Every single day. People are very makbid on this. When it comes to Yom HaKippurim, you got a problem, comes Shabbos, the people manage, they count, 100 brachas.
That's the origin of the Candyman in Shul.
That's how it started. Oh, really?
That's the
art. Oh, man, wow. That's a chiddush. That's a chiddush. So, what's the pasuk? The pasuk over here is more. What's the pasuk? Shoel Meya. Al Tikri Ma. Elo Meya Shoel Meimach. You make 100 brachas, you think about Hashem. I read an article in a secular media, secular news. They've done a study. They've observed a group of people how many times from the time they wake up in the morning until they go to sleep at night do they check their cell phone. they check their cell phone for new texts, for new messages, for internet, just to know what's going on. They've done a study. They took people, they watched the average person. What is the average? The average? 100. 100. The average, go check this out, Google this. The average amount of times a person checks their cell from the time he wakes up to the time he goes to sleep is 100. And the article was addiction. Addiction. We're addicted to the cell phone. We're addicted to this object. We can't get away. We're imagining that someone wants to talk to us. Someone has something important to tell us. We're going to miss out. We're going to lose out on the latest gossip, the latest event. Who knows? What did Trump say? How can you go an hour without knowing what came out of his mouth? What did he tweet? Right? This obsession. Isn't that amazing? Chazal were way, way ahead of their time. Way ahead of their time. Chazal said, if you want to be addicted to something in this world, you know what you should be addicted to? Hashem. That's a very healthy form of addiction. And therefore, see to it that you make contact. You make contact with your Creator 100 times a day. Make exactly 100 brachas. That is the ultimate addiction. So isn't that amazing? When the secular world wants to define addiction, it shows that today people are addicted to their smartphones by looking at it 100 times a day. Chazal knew this and said, make 100 brachas every single day. You'll be addicted. You won't forget about me. Amazing. Okay. So going back over here, Hashem says, I was not important. You put me achrei gavech, you put behind your back. Mitzudos, this past mitzudos, that you know, the person want to remember you throw behind your back. Gam at kamosha asis lemuli kain gam at sivli gemul zimosech. You will suffer the punishment of your zima. The es tashlum taznu soich. Let's see Rashi pasuk lamid hey says zimosech kabili chayvei etzas chetech. You have to go and suffer the consequences for your sins. Radak pasuk lamid hey l'chein kodem Hashem achrei gavech k'odem hamashlich dover achrei gevo behind his back shelo yirenu, he should not see it v'lo yizkerenu, and he should not remember. There's a chazal, I don't remember the chazal, believe it next time. Okay, we'll stop over here.